This show furnished by Coast Psychological Services.
Happy Friday night to you. You are listening to On the Couch with me, Dr. Leanna Dragoulis, and my fabulous co-host, Eric Scott Smith. I am a licensed clinical psychologist, and we are here with you every Friday night at midnight talking about mental well-being. Tonight, you are going to want to stay tuned. How do you feel about the way you look? When you look in the mirror, are you happy or do you find yourself feeling really bummed out? When you go on social media, do you find yourself feeling worse about yourself afterwards? How much time do you spend preoccupied about what to eat or how much you weigh or what clothes to wear? This is an issue that we all struggle with. And given our cultural values, it becomes really difficult to feel good about the way you look. We all have some of these insecurities, but when do they become really problematic and impact our well-being?
And I think that this topic, usually when you talk about body image, you think about women. First and foremost, let's be honest, you think women have a bigger issue with their body than men do.
Yeah, you do. Historically, I think that's been the case, Eric.
I want to start this show off and say that men have just as much of an issue with their body as women.
You know, this is why I like having you on the show, Eric. You're an advocate for men and men's health and men's wellness, and men are getting a tough rap these days, and so I appreciate that you can speak on behalf of men. So it's a real thing. Do you think guys just don't talk about it so much?
Well, I think that we as a society do not raise our boys to discuss it. The thing is that I just watched Fight Club the other day.
Okay.
And Brad Pitt's abs are out of control.
Yes.
And anytime you watch that movie, anytime you even think about that movie, the first thing you think of is Brad Pitt's abs. And there are abs everywhere. My wife, all of the guys in Hollywood that are on her list,
yeah,
her freebie list,
yeah,
her hall pass, if you will, they all have 97 abdominal muscles. And I don't understand
right.
how they get them.
Yeah, your wife's in the fitness industry.
She puts
a little bit of pressure on you, Eric. I can see why that might be hard sometimes.
And she works with a bunch of guys with lots of muscles, and they're all tall. And listen, I'm a 5'5" guy with a kind of whiny voice. Let's be honest. I am not a fit man.
But you have tattoos.
I do.
And you have motorcycles and you're on the radio.
But am I just hiding the fact that I don't feel good about my body image?
Well, I think you are right. Men are not taught to talk about these things, right? Men are taught that they can't be vulnerable and that they can't be weak and that they have to be strong and confident and can't show that. So I do think guys have a harder rap than sometimes we give them credit for. And women do too. But I think some of the reasons this is shifting around a bit is because our gender roles are shifting around. So if we go all the way back to the 1950s, a woman's job, according to traditional gender roles and expectations, were to lock down a husband.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. And you lock down a husband by being attractive. So a woman's job was to be attractive and to find a husband, and a man's job was to be the breadwinner and support his family and make money. So I think it makes sense to me, and I haven't done an extensive in-depth analysis of this, but I'm sort of speaking anecdotally and based on my understanding of changing shifts in our society about how we view men and how we view women. But my guess is that going back a ways, that if a man was earning and being productive in his career, that maybe there was a little bit less of a concern about his appearance. But now that's shifting around, and women are making more and more money, and
right.
oftentimes women are the breadwinners. Men might be making less money. And so I think, you know, maybe men are feeling less needed in certain ways because women are more and more independent. And now maybe men are feeling more pressure to look good, to get a girlfriend, to get a wife. Either way, we all struggle with this. And I think it goes back to, at the end of the day, what we value in our society. Unfortunately, it saddens me, but I think that we put so much pressure on our appearance, on youth, on beauty. And I think at the end of the day, it's those implicit and explicit cultural messages that are really making this hard for us.
But if you think about it, aren't things changing a little bit? Because if you watch the Academy Awards last weekend, the winners are all shapes and sizes and colors. I mean, we as a society are getting more diverse, and we're starting to appreciate different varieties of human being as being beautiful. Wouldn't you agree with that at least?
I think yes. I think there are some changes. I just think that I think it's going to take decades.
Right.
I think it's going to take decades for that really to permeate in a truly substantial way. Yes, I'm glad to hear that the television, the music, the entertainment industry is shifting around. But if you still look at our top selling artists,
sure,
and our highest paid actors and actresses and our biggest blockbusters, for the most part, you see very attractive people.
Sure. If you look at Chris Pratt, for instance, who is now a multi-billion dollar blockbuster actor, from Jurassic World to the Guardians of the Galaxy,
yes,
1 and 2.
Yeah.
He was a chubby guy. When he got his start, he was a chubby guy, and he was the star of TV shows, but he was not a blockbuster actor until he lost the weight and got the abs, and finally we started paying to see him at the box office.
Right. Yes, I was flipping through the TV, the telly, as my English friends would say. I was flipping through the telly, and Magic Mike came on the other day, and my friend's like, "Do you want to watch this?" I'm like, "No, not really. I don't want to watch it. I don't get it. I've always valued intellect and character more than appearance." However, with that said, I am not immune to the pressures myself. The other thing that plays a role in this, I believe, is this consumeristic society and advertising. So if we really look at the role of advertisers, and we look at people who are selling us, you know, jeans and makeup and the fashion industry, it's their job. This is kind of cynical, but it's their job to get us to feel badly about the way that we look. Intentionally, yes, intentionally. There's a reason that if you're a woman and you walk into Victoria's Secret, you look on the wall and you see, you know, these incredibly perfect looking people, and then you go, "Oh gosh, I don't feel very good about how I look." But if I buy this bra, set and put on this lotion, that somehow I'm miraculously going to look like this woman on the wall. So advertisers do want us to feel badly about the way we look, so we'll buy our products. That's basically what it boils down to.
But as a man, I will just say, in my personal experience, there is nothing sexier than a woman who loves herself. When my wife walks into the bedroom and she is confident in how she looks, then she is the most beautiful woman. She is anyway. But there's something beautiful about a woman who's not questioning herself. Now, when she's going, look at this. This just hangs over. This looks weird.
Does this just
what
make
is
me
this
look
on
fat?
My face? Look at these bags under my eyes. When she starts pointing out all the things that she doesn't find beautiful about herself,
what
then
do you
I
say
start,
to her?
I say, I don't see any of that until you point it out. If you would stop pointing it out, then all I see is the soul that I married.
Yes, yes, the spirit, the
exactly.
energy. I think that works in both directions. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. There's something about being around people who are confident and okay within themselves. That's what's contagious. And that's the message I want to send out tonight. For those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to On the Couch with me, Dr. Leanna, and Eric Scott Smith, my fabulous co-host. We're talking about feeling good about the way we look and how hard it is to do that in our modern society, and also in Los Angeles, especially where we're doing this show. There's so many attractive people in the city. They come from all over the world to make it big in Hollywood. And just walking down the street, right, you see so many people who are attractive, and then you see these billboards, and then you turn on the TV, and now we have social media to contend with. And if you look around, there's not as many messages about how do we feel good about who we are based on who we are. And we're taught to look towards these external reinforcers all the time to feel good about ourselves. If I make this much money, if I weigh this amount, if I drive this car, if I look youthful, if my skin's good enough, if my hair's thick enough, then I'm okay. But really, as we're going to be discussing on the show, at the end of the day, that stuff is fleeting and it doesn't work. It's about connecting with our strength internally, and that's where the work has to start. Now, there's a balance between having a healthy sense of self and self-care and taking care of ourselves and our bodies. So I don't want to give the message that it's always healthy, you know, to not care at all, right?
Sure.
You see sometimes people walking around in like soiled and stained clothing and maybe they haven't bathed or combed their hair and maybe they never look in the mirror. And that can also mean there's an absence of self-love. Mm-hmm. But when we get so caught up in appearance and so preoccupied with it, that usually is an overcompensation for not feeling okay within.
And by the way, I just want to pat somebody on the back since we're talking about the entertainment industry right now, because one celebrity has come forward, a guy, who has said what I said, that there are body image issues with men. But tell me this guy isn't sexy.
So honey, now
Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
But he's not the sexiest looking guy.
Yes.
But he admitted, he said, quote, when he came onto the scene, there were the Biebers, the Harry Styles, and he felt a lot of pressure to look like them. He said, quote, I was like, they're so photogenic and they've got six packs. I had zero insecurities before I became a singer. I was born with ginger hair. I didn't care. I would have a beer belly. I wouldn't wash my hair. I had scraggly clothes. But as soon as you're in the public eye and people start picking holes in you, you start thinking bad things about yourself. Like, am I fat? So it took being in the entertainment industry for him to even notice these things about himself, which, you know, I'm proud of him for coming forward, because it's really hard for guys to admit that they've got a bad body image.
Absolutely. I love when people can come forward and talk about these things, because it's what we all struggle with as human beings. Do I have self-worth? And we think that our physical appearance alone is going to give us that we are mistaken.
And he became famous in a society where we have social media. So when we come back, I want to talk a lot about how social media is affecting our poor body
in a big way. In a big way.
When we come back on the couch with Dr. Leanna on 790 KABC.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Play your perfect combination.
Give me a round of golf, a round of drinks, and a round of blackjack.
Ice cold martinis and hot juicy steaks.
Whatever you love to do, you'll find more ways to win at the all-new Pechanga Resort Casino in Temecula.
Why won't a plumber just tell me what it costs to unclog my drain over the phone? Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. It makes no sense at all. They obviously have a price.
Whoa, you've got a nice aroma. Who are you?
Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber.
Will you tell me how much to unstop my drain?
$99.
But you haven't seen it.
Don't need to. Doesn't matter if it's a kitchen sink or a mainline sewer stoppage. The Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond will unclog almost any drain for $99.
Almost?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but you can read all about them on our website before you call. Just go to thesmellgoodplumber.com.
Wow, you're like up front and everything. I just called a guy named Bubba who wouldn't tell me anything.
No Bubbas here, ma'am. Just professional plumbers who show up on time, smell good, and unclog drains for $99.
Call us, 1-800-446-MIKE.
Contractor license number 399-170.
790 KABC.
You got to get up every morning with a smile.
Welcome back to On the Couch with me, Dr. Leanna. I am a clinical psychologist. This show is about psychology and mental well-being. We're here with you every Friday night at midnight. Myself and co-host Eric Scott Smith, perhaps you know him from the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show on KLOS. Tonight, we're talking about feeling good about the way we look and how difficult it is in our society to define our self-worth based on our insides, not our outsides. I'm thinking of that scene from the movie Liar Liar. Did you ever see that with Jim Carrey?
Sure.
And there's that scene where the kid says something like, well, mommy says, you know, it's all about feeling good on the inside. And Jim Carrey's like, that's just what what was that
yeah.
line? That's just what ugly people
yeah.
say. Well, that we're hoping to give a different message here tonight. How do we, despite all of these cultural messages, despite the entertainment industry, media, despite billboards, despite all of these cultural institutions that tell us we're not good enough, so we'll buy their products, spend more money, and then they tell us this is going to make us feel better, but it never works. And so, and now with social media, it's a whole new phenomena that concerns me.
If you combine the two of those, I don't know if you even realize this is happening in your life, but social media ads are targeting you specifically.
Yes.
So if you follow a bunch of diet posts on Instagram, mm-hmm. they know that. And mm-hmm. they're going to post to all of your little insecurities about diet, this brand new diet plan, and hopefully you'll sign up to buy. It's not like a billboard anymore where they hope you drive by and they'll catch you with a phone number and what you might be insecure about.
Right.
Nowadays, they know who you are
right.
and they know what you're insecure about, and they are going to market to you.
Right. And you're so specifically targeted. And guess what? It's working. I see this every day in my practice. Really, people I see shifts in mood. My clients will come into the session, will be making some progress. Their depression scores will be lower. They'll come in feeling down, and then they'll say something like, you know, I really need to spend less time on social media. I can't tell you how much I hear that each day. And I myself note certain shifts in my mood when I'm looking at certain things on Instagram or pictures or images. And we have to be so mindful and so intentional about what we choose to follow, because if we're not careful about that, it can really take us to a pretty negative space pretty quickly.
I found a really interesting story that says social media posts about exercise are actually terrible for your body image. Did you know that?
That doesn't surprise me. How many people do you see doing workouts on your Instagram posts? Do you come across that a lot?
I do, yeah.
Yes, well, because, yes, your wife is in the fitness industry.
She is. She's a personal trainer. So to some degree, we rely a little bit on people's insecurities just to make money. So I'm
right.
a little torn in
today's
show.
I guess, in a way, as a psychologist. So we're all guilty of it to some, I guess, as long as we're sort of aware and try to contribute in positive ways as well, maybe it all bounces out
exactly.
somehow.
We're all contributing to health. But this is from Health Communication, is a publication that suggests the more you see your friends posting about exercise on social media, the more likely you are to feel self-conscious about your weight. But that's only if you perceive those friends as similar to you. So
mm-hmm.
the similarity heightens what they call social comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So if the person's posting about exercise is someone in your age group, has a similar build, or maybe a similar background, you might think that's a pretty good reference. So that sparks even more concern, because you see yourself, that's your peer.
That makes sense.
And they're getting in shape. So
yes.
why am I not getting in
yes.
shape?
Yes. So in this way, social media might even be more harmful than traditional movies. Because if you're watching a movie, you know, if it's the 1940s and you're looking at Ava Gardner on the screen, you're going, this woman is being paid all this money. She's the best of the best. She's this untouchable Hollywood actress.
Right.
But now you're looking, and this is your friend, and they're using filters, and they're taking these photos, and they're very, very curated, and the lighting's just right. And so oftentimes, I think when we look at people's social media and those photos where you see people look phenomenal in every picture, that is a direct correlation to how much time and energy and attention people are contributing toward how they look on social media.
But have you heard of upward social comparison? This isn't just regular social comparison. Upward social mm-hmm. comparison is where you deem somebody who is slightly above you, somebody you would like to be like, someone you would like to emulate.
Yes.
So they actually found found that if you follow those people and find those people working out on social media, it could actually be good for you as a motivational tool. But you have to view them as someone you'd like to emulate, not someone you feel like you're on the same plane with. So maybe following more celebrities and seeing that they're human too, and they work their butts off to get those bodies, might motivate you.
Right. I think we have to really be careful about whom we choose to emulate and why. And this is why there are populations or age ranges or groups of people who are more vulnerable to this than others. So if we're thinking about adolescent girls or adolescent boys who are looking at these images all day long, they might not have that security or that sense of identity. They haven't yet formulated who they want to be and how they want to live and what they value. So their value system is being shaped based on what they're looking at. Whereas if you're my age, if you're your age and you're feeling pretty good about who you are and you have enough life experiences to help you define what's meaningful, then you can look at those things and sort of say, this is not what I want my life to be about. I value this. I can tailor the people I follow on Instagram or social media to represent that. I can choose to look towards these upward comparisons of people who enrich other people's lives or feel good about themselves. But when we just look ahead and go, I want to be like this person, it's so easy to create all of these narratives and stories about why that person is better, why their life is easier, why they have it so great. And if you're not feeling good about yourself, you can tell yourself, well, if I'm just like that, then I'm going to be okay. But that's an illusion.
Well, this is really, really horrifying, and I need your take on this, because we're talking about vulnerable groups, and you mentioned young people, and I don't know how to feel about this. I really legitimately, I'm kind of shaken to the core that I read this. Weight Watchers is offering teenagers free memberships.
Oh.
Teenagers aged 13 to 17 will be eligible to sign up for a no-fee Weight Watchers initiative this summer. But body image campaigners argue it could increase the risk of young people developing eating disorders.
Because
if you think about it, think about Becky, who's feeling bad about her weight in school. And at school, she goes there and they call her pudgy or fat or whatever teenagers will call girls who are slightly overweight. I personally feel, as a parent, it is the job of the parent when Becky comes home to say, don't listen to them. You are beautiful.
Right.
Just the way you are. And listen, if you are feeling unhealthy, then let's try to take some steps together as a family. But you don't have to change a thing, sweetheart.
Right.
Because you are beautiful. As long as you are healthy and happy, that is what matters. But Becky, in this situation, this story that I'm holding in my hand, that I'm obviously
very
upset
perturbed
about,
by this,
because I have a daughter, and it bothers me that Becky can come home and say, Mommy, they're making fun of me. And Mommy just goes, well, let's get you on Weight Watchers at age 13.
Okay, well, so this is where I think this is a complex issue that's not black or white.
Right.
It's very, very tricky, right? If somebody walks into my office and they're feeling really badly about themselves for a certain reason, there's lots of reasons we can feel badly about ourselves, right? We can be in a relationship with someone who makes us feel horrible. We could not be living a life that's most purposeful. We can be struggling with addictions, other shame-based behaviors. And if someone says, well, you know, I'm feeling so horrible about myself, help me change this, right? If that thing happens to be weight or physical appearance, it becomes very, you have to be adept at being able to tease out why this is causing so much shame to someone.
Right.
And sometimes the shame is actually an important, intuitive connection to some positive changes that we need to make in our lives. So if something is persistently making us feel very shameful about ourselves and we have some influence over it, sometimes we have to look at that and think about how we can do things differently that will help us feel better about ourselves. Sometimes the work is about acceptance and self-acknowledgement. So it really depends on the person and what's driving the reasons to want to lose weight. I've worked with a lot of young people who are overweight, they're teased, they're bullied, and we're talking about being obese. We're talking about, you know, severe obesity, things like this. They're teased, they're bullied. I've worked with adults who are very overweight. They don't feel healthy in their body. They don't feel strong. They feel disconnected from people. The shame it creates for them makes them not want to engage so much socially. It perpetuates more negative self-talk. And I've worked with people who have struggled with chronic depression. And when they make changes and start to lose the weight and feel better about themselves, we can start to see shifts in the way that they feel about themselves. Now, on the other hand, there are things that we can't change about ourselves, an irrational shame response, an unrealistic expectation, a hypercritical or perfectionistic standard, and that shame can be coming up based on a deep wound, based on what we were taught to believe about ourselves as children, based on social comparisons that we're constantly making, which are indeed harmful. When we look at other people and we start comparing ourselves to them, we usually don't walk away feeling much better about ourselves. We usually end up feeling worse about ourselves. So in 12-step meetings, they talk about something called the Serenity Prayer. And it says, you know, help me understand the things that I can change and the things I can't change, and the courage, you know, to make the changes that I can. And that's what this is all about. How do we find that balance? You're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to be talking about that and more coming up. You've been listening to On the Couch with Dr. Leanna, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News. I'm James Stanley with this news update. Two Pomona police officers were shot and wounded last night when responding to a barricaded suspect to an area near Palomares and Phillips. At least one of the police officers was rushed to the hospital. Be sure and stay with KABC for the very latest. Developing story, no word on the barricaded situation. A suspected reckless driver who was also believed to be under the influence of something was arrested a couple of hours after leading deputies on a chase on Friday afternoon and then barricading himself inside his disabled car on a dirt road in the Antelope Valley near Acton. The pursuit began shortly after 3 in the Antelope Valley on the 14 freeway near Angeles Crest Highway. It was such a slow-speed chase that some police officers described it as looking like a parade at times, with the driver at one point appearing to be tossing what looked like money out of the car's window. KABC SoCal weather, 30% chance of rain overnight, 80% chance through the afternoon today, 65 for an afternoon high. It's foggy, 57 now, downtown Los Angeles. I'm James Stanley, 790 KABC News.
Dr. Peter Fields is both an MD and a chiropractor and is an expert in regenerative orthopedics. It's a pleasure to welcome him to KABC.
Thanks, Doug.
Is stem cell therapy a non-surgical alternative to joint replacement?
Absolutely. Stem cell therapy helps people avoid total joint replacements and the complications that are associated with it. At OrthoRegen, we use the gold standard for stem cell therapy. We take stem cells from your bone marrow and fat, as well as platelets from your blood, to help grow new cartilage in your knee, hip, or shoulder. We also treat the outside of your joint so the entire joint is repaired and can function well again. In addition, stem cells can repair backs and necks. If you have been told that you have bone on bone, no more cartilage, or need your joint replaced, then stem cell therapy might be for you. Remember, once surgery is done, it can never be undone.
If you want to avoid surgery on your joints or spine, call Dr. Fields at 310-453-1234. That's 310-453-1234. And on the web at drfields.com. That's drfields.com.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. My House Smarts Minute is sponsored by CLR, Calcium Lime and Rust Remover. Get your day back with powerful, efficient cleaners. You know, planting bulbs right now for the spring is a chance to give yourself a little surprise. As long as the ground is not frozen, for those of you in colder climates, you can plant your bulbs. Just make sure to plant them at least 4 to 6 inches deep and surround them with some rich planting soil to give them some added nutrients. In a few months, those flowers will be popping up out of the ground, signaling spring. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this. No matter what kind of clean you need, don't trust it to any cleaner. Trust CLR. It's the only cleaner in its category to earn the EPA's Safer Choice Seal. Tough stains, hard water buildup, CLR takes care of it all. Look for the Safer Choice seal and trust your clean to CLR, celebrating 50 years of making quick work of tough jobs. Visit CLRbrands.com to find more info on their family of products and where to buy.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. I mean licking your plate clean, licking your fingers off. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker. This is exquisite. This is Southern cooking at its very best. Southern cooking is the essence of home cooking. It's the essence of comfort food. Their fried chicken is something to dream about. Try the oxtails, the short ribs, the macaroni and cheese. It's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Come watch the Los Angeles Aviators, high-flying athletes, play one of the greatest sports ever invented. The Aviators offer a family-friendly live sporting experience at the price of a movie ticket. Ultimate Disc, one of the fastest-growing sports in the country, is built on a foundation of sportsmanship and offers easy-to-follow, non-stop action men and women of all ages can enjoy. For more information, go to laaviators.com.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Every day is so wonderful, and suddenly it's hard to breathe. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed.
That's right, you are beautiful. And that's what we're talking about on the couch with Dr. Leanna on 790 KABC. We're talking all about body image. But first, have you been to our website? OnTheCouchNow.com. That is something no one can argue is beautiful. OnTheCouchNow.com. Go there right now. Get every show we've ever done absolutely for free right there on your computer, on your smartphone, tablet, whatever you use. You can listen to this show on it. OnTheCouchNow.com. We've got links to our iTunes. There's a phone number where you can actually give us a call. And there's a little button called Clinical Services right there on the right-hand side. Click that and you can actually sit on the couch with Dr. Leanna in her office and sort of talk some of these issues out that these shows might spark inside of you. We all want to get healthy, and I think that's why Dr. Leanna does this show. That's why I do this show. That's why we're here to help with that. So we've been talking all about social comparisons and why they exist. And you say that there is an evolutionary function to social comparison. I cannot wait to hear this.
There's an evolutionary function to most of what we do as humans. And I cease to be surprised by the fact they don't teach us more about how to navigate the human body that we reside in. This goes back to our days of living in tribes, right? Foraging groups, small groups that live together and hunt and forage and live in communities. There was only one way to survive 100,000 years ago, 50,000 years ago, and that was within the context of a group. And it's still kind of true to this day. But if you got kicked out of the group 50,000 years ago, you weren't getting very far. Things wouldn't work out well for you. Humans aren't particularly strong or fast in comparison to other species. So we've looked at other group members as a means to determine whether we are good enough in the context of the group. So we compare ourselves as a means to make sure that we get to stay in the group. And those who were constantly comparing and checking themselves and comparing themselves to others were able to get some information about whether they were good enough or doing enough or contributing enough. And if you're contributing enough and you're good enough and you're doing enough, then you're more likely to remain part of the pack, as the theory goes. And if you are thinking you're okay and you might be taken by surprise, you get kicked out of the group and there you have it. A saber-toothed tiger comes and eats you.
So that goes back to social pressure. If you think about it, back in the day when we were comparing ourselves to how many coconuts did you get today? Well, I only got 3 and Jack down the street has 10 and he's got all the ladies because he's got all the coconuts. I'm comparing myself to him.
Yes.
But now our society does not put value on the coconuts. It puts value on how attractive Jack down the street is. And if he's got 10 women because he's so good looking and I've only got 3 women, I am comparing myself now based on how attractive Jack is, right?
That very good.
All right.
Very good. If I had given you an exam, you would have gotten an A on it. That was very succinct. You actually listened to me on this show, Eric.
I do.
I'm glad somebody's listening to me. So that's exactly right. And this is a mechanism that we still use to make sure that we're okay and we're good enough, but it becomes really, really problematic. And some comparison is important. It's good to, as you said earlier, to think about the people who you aspire to be and why and what's meaningful and important. And hopefully we think about things more than just status, power, appearance, and money. Hopefully we're seeing a bigger picture here. And then if we can emulate and compare ourselves in ways of, I want to work towards this, and it becomes a source of inspiration and motivation, then it's a positive thing. And all we have to do is check in with ourselves and take note of when we start to feel really awful about ourselves. We have to learn to be aware of that and then ask ourselves, is this comparison or is this behavior helpful to me or is it harmful to me? And why? And that becomes our answers for how to move through our struggles and how to feel better about ourselves. We'll talk about that more in our next segment, is how do we find balance with this and how do we ultimately feel good about ourselves? What can we do? I do yoga. I've learned a lot from yoga over the years, and a lot of people, I recommend it in my clinical work frequently, and people will say, no, you know, it doesn't do that much. It's very slow moving. I just don't get that much from it. And for me, it took about 6 months.
Wow.
To really, really understand and begin to connect with why this ancient practice is so incredibly beneficial to us physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. I know that. So one of the things that yoga has taught me, as I'm down on the mat and I look around the room and the teacher will say, okay, let's see if we can work on our headstands today, class. And I'll try to do my headstand and I'll fall over, and it's so tempting to just look at the person to the left of me or to the right of me and just ask myself or to say to myself, oh, look, they can do this headstand better than I can. And I was finding myself doing this in yoga a lot, and I realized, oh, I'm socially comparing myself in this moment. I am seeing if I measure up to the person next to me. And it wasn't until right then and there that I really got how quick and automatic and conditioned that tendency is. We do it all day long. And if we're not aware that we're doing it, it becomes really harmful. So yoga gave me an opportunity to have enough awareness to see when my attention was shifting toward the person next to me. And I still do it. But as soon as I note that my attention is shifting towards the person next to me, I catch myself, I stop, and I redirect my attention back to myself. And that's been a really, really important way for me to start to connect more and more to my own strength and my own capability and really begin to let go of the fact that what other people look like or what they're doing or can do or how thin they are, if they have better clothes, or that following that train of thought is detrimental. And if we can catch it and bring it back to ourselves, we are much, much better off for it. So that's what I'm going to invite everybody who's listening to do. And this takes practice and awareness and mindfulness skills. So see if you can note when your attention goes toward comparing yourself to someone else. And if it does, bring your attention back to yourself and ask yourself the question, who is it that I want to be in the world? What am I working on for myself? What's important to me? And compare yourself to yourself and your own growth and your own development. And that's how we start to facilitate a deeper and more acknowledging relationship with ourselves.
So obviously comparing yourself to the people around you, it can be motivational. It can be beneficial if you do it in the right way. And having a healthy concern about your appearance is a good thing, to at least present yourself in a light where you're proud of what you look like. You're
yes.
proud of who you are presenting yourself
yes.
to be.
Yes.
But where does it become unhealthy? Where are we getting into the realm of disorders and syndromes? And what are some of those disorders and syndromes?
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic question. So again, I think of appearance, if we view it as self-care, as something positive, on us tending to our physical needs. And if our physical appearance and our weight or how we dress is more about feeling good, and it helps us feel good, and it helps us feel empowered and more confident, and it's having that sort of effect on us, then great, fantastic. That's a positive thing. It starts to become problematic when we really become very hyper-focused and preoccupied with our appearance on a daily basis. And if we see people who struggle with true psychiatric disorders, such as body dysmorphic disorder, anorexia, bulimia, these are kind of our standard psychiatric problems that relate to appearance, we see that someone is feeling incredibly distressed most of the time, that they might be feeling depression, they might be feeling chronic shame, there might be a sense of emptiness, there might be worthlessness, and anxiety, significant anxiety, then it becomes problematic. So someone has to really take note of how much mental space is this taking in my mind? And when it's taking this mental space, what is my emotional state like? So with something like body dysmorphic disorder, the person identifies some sort of perceived physical flaw. And it can be anything. And there may be no flaw at all, or it might be a very mild flaw. Maybe somebody has a crooked nose, or has asymmetry in their face, or maybe their breasts aren't large enough, or, you know, these types of things. Nobody's perfect. And what they do is they take this flaw and it becomes so big. It's like this flaw is put under a microscope and it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and takes over everything else. And then the person becomes obsessive about trying somehow to remediate this flaw. So they might engage in checking behaviors. They might spend hours looking in the mirror every day. They might spend tons of money they don't have on expensive cosmetic procedures, on clothing. They might change their outfits 20 times before they leave the house. They might spend, you know, hours at the gym trying to perfect their hamstrings. And there's constant preoccupation, or there's complete avoidance. They can entirely stop looking in the mirror. They won't go places because they're afraid that people are seeing this flaw. And it starts to become very, very irrational, and it takes up a lot of time and energy. It's a significant concern, and there are effective treatments for these types of issues. Anorexia and bulimia are also, of course, eating disorders that are focused around weight.
You're a very good doctor, because I have all the signs that your child could be suffering from body dysmorphic disorder. You literally named every single one on this list.
Yes.
You are a very
well,
good
thank you.
Doctor.
I do this every day. Every day.
Oh, well, when we come back, we do have some solutions, or at least some ideas to help you get back to feeling good about how you look. So stick around on the couch with Dr. Leanna on 790 KABC.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll deal with all the fallout from O.J. Simpson confessing to Judith Regan.
Plus, it's the big spring forward weekend. You know that whole time thing. And Harvey Weinstein bullied one of the biggest names in Hollywood, and she's speaking out loud.
Bastard!
Live and local, right after Dr. Drew's Lauren Savant, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Meryl Schindler with the Daily Nosh here on KBC. And, you know, after a fine meal of your chicken and of all your great side dishes, I don't know, maybe a good eater might like a little something sweet. You carry any desserts?
A few. We carry a few. And, you know, a big part of Southern home cooking, Meryl, are the desserts. Fantastic desserts. And we carry them all at Doolin's, from banana pudding to red velvet cake. Sweet potato pie, of course. One of my favorites is lemon icebox pie.
Oh,
delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious lemon icebox pie, all types of pound cakes. And I tell you, folks can't get enough.
And you could wash it all down with the famous sweet tea, which they drink all over the South. Little known up here, but it is just what it sounds like. It is sweet tea.
It's very sweet, but I like mine with a little dab of lemonade, Meryl.
That sounds so perfect. But then perfection is what they do at Doolin's. Doolin's on Crenshaw and Doolin's Soul Food Kitchen. Perfection indeed.
Having problems sleeping? I can solve that. I'm Dr. Nazarian, the Beverly Hills dentist. Wait, you ask, how can a dentist help me sleep better? My answer? By fixing that toothache that keeps you up all night. I also provide all the dental services your family may need. My number is 310-277-8232. So if you want to get a good night's sleep along with a great smile, give me a call. 310-277-8232. Also at the Beverly Hills Dentist.com. Pleasant dreams.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
I went to the doctor. I went to the mountains. I looked to the children.
Welcome back to On the Couch with me, Dr. Leanna. We're here with you every Friday night at midnight talking about psychology. Yes, you guessed it. I'm a clinical psychologist, and we're here trying to make us all a little bit happier, a little bit healthier. I believe that if we are more connected with ourselves and have greater awareness of our struggles, we are empowered then to work through them. And the happier we are with ourselves, then we treat others better, and we all just get along, and then we can move towards a peaceful and utopian society. And tonight, perhaps when you were out at the bar hanging out with your girlfriend, maybe a good-looking guy or girl walked in the room and you caught your partner looking at them or checking them out, or maybe you spent too much time on social media tonight looking at the new fitness model, or maybe you caught your partner liking somebody who was attractive. Maybe you hop on the scale. Maybe you've been concerned about how much you ate tonight and whether that's going to make you heavier, and then maybe if you gain those 2 pounds, your partner's going to leave you. We've been talking all about body image and feeling good about the way that you look, and there are definitely some things that we can do so that we can all feel better about ourselves and our appearance. And it doesn't mean, you know, losing tons of weight and getting plastic surgery and going out and buying new clothes. It's the inner work, and there's some things we can do to connect in a more meaningful way to our strength and our value. The external reinforcers don't work. They might work for a minute, for an hour, for a day or 2 days, but that's not really what makes us feel self-love.
Well, I'm not a licensed clinical psychologist, so I don't have any of the answers, except I did find a study that suggests there is a very simple thing you can do to feel better about your body. It's really, really easy. We can all do it.
Okay.
Go outside.
Oh, go outside. Yes.
Go outside.
Yes.
But there is a trick to this.
Okay.
They did a study. They showed people a bunch of pictures of cities.
Yes.
And then they showed people a bunch of pictures of nature.
Yes.
And the people who saw the pictures of nature felt better about their bodies after they did the study. They stepped it up a notch.
Okay.
They had people take a 30-minute walk in the city.
Yes.
And they had people take a 30-minute walk out in nature.
Okay.
And the people who walked around the city actually felt worse about themselves.
Yes.
And their body image. And the people who spent time in nature just for 30 minutes walking around, they felt better about their body image.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Do you know why that is, Eric?
Well, their theory, I don't know, but their theory is that maybe, because they're still trying to dissect all of this information, but they think maybe there's less distractions in the world. There's less to actually look at than the city. There's always noise happening. There's somebody doing something over here. Somebody fell. A car accident almost happened over here. You're always looking and your mind is always engaged. But when you're in nature, you can just sort of disconnect from everything and connect more with yourself.
Yes, yes. There's a fascinating branch or subfield of psychology called eco-psychology, which is just amazing. And I think what happens when we're out in nature, yes, I would agree with you. You don't have all those distractions. You don't have all those billboards. You don't have all those attractive people walking by you. You're not comparing yourself on social media. You're not seeing the attractive person down the street who you're concerned your boyfriend is checking out. When you're in nature, we start to lose ourselves in the awe and the wonder and the greatness and the vastness of what's around us. And I think that there's an experience that takes over that helps us see how insignificant in some ways these issues really are. At the end of your life, you're not going to reflect back on your life and say, you know, I wish I would have, you know, worn my hair in a different way, or right. You're going to think about what was meaning and what was valuable and how you lived your life. And so I do think it connects us spiritually and it reminds us of what's most important. So yes, nature is really good. And I have several other tips that people can adopt, Eric, to help themselves feel better about the way they look. It starts with checking in on what else is meaningful to you about your life, or just in general, what you value outside of just your physical appearance. So it's checking in and going, who do I want to be? How do I want to live my life? At the end of my life, and I reflect back, how am I going to want to think about how I lived and what was most valuable? And so some people might say raising amazing children, or being of service to others, or creating, or achieving, or living a passionate life, or having travel and adventure, connecting with good friends and having community. And the more clear we are about those other areas and those other things that give us meaning, the more we can direct attention and energy towards those things. This is especially true as we age and as we get older. Historically, this might be changing. Women have had a difficult time aging. People who have been rated as more attractive have a more difficult time aging because there's less of this reinforcement. There's less approval. And if we're not connected to what else gives us meaning and helps us feel a sense of acknowledgement and fulfillment, we're all going to be in trouble. So we can all start identifying that now. The other thing we can do is build communities of like-minded people who don't place so much value on appearance. We can choose to have friendships and communities who also prioritize other things as being more important and more meaningful. I have to say, I'm really fortunate in that way. I have a lot of friends who do not place emphasis on physical appearance. A lot of my friends are professors or healers or people in helping professions or artistic and creative people, and that's what they value most. And I can say that that's absolutely rubbed off on me. Yoga can be helpful if you have a yoga group or a teacher who really, really can make it about the ancient healing tradition of yoga and mindfulness and meditation and awareness and connecting with our own energy. If you're not getting that in your yoga class and it's just a bunch of people who are showing off their like latest yoga outfit and it doesn't feel that connected, it can be harmful. Your gym environment, if everybody around you is so focused on appearance and talking about these, what their body mass index is all day long, that can be harmful. So you want a fitness environment where people are doing it because they want to feel strength and vitality.
I think that exercising, my wife is a personal trainer, and I think I've seen psychologically a lot of her clients went from feeling bad about themselves to actually feeling pretty good about their body image, and I didn't notice any difference in their bodies. Mm. And in fact, she has said, you know, she's only lost 3 pounds, but she feels like she's lost 30.
Yeah.
Because she is, she has more energy every day, and she's more focused on improvement. When she sets her mind to improvement, immediately there's a psychological change that you are improved.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's right. And physical vitality and strength is huge. When we feel strong in our bodies, we feel strong emotionally. When we have energy in our bodies, we feel more energized. So exercise is key to feeling good about our appearance, but not in a compulsive way, not in a way that takes over. You want to just follow the recommended guidelines of, you know, three to five times a week, getting some good cardio in, getting strength training. It helps us feel vital and strong. We want to sleep well, nutrition, all of those other factors are really important. Not spending too much time looking in the mirror. Mirrors can be really problematic. If you have mirrors that trap you and get you into this inner critical voice, take some of them down. Mm. Be mindful of how much time you choose to spend in the mirror. Spend limits on how much time you spend on getting ready or putting on makeup or working out. Spend limits on how much, how often you check the scale. And also, last but not least, be really mindful of that inner critical voice. Fear, jealousy, it gives us this chatter that tells us we're not okay or someone else is better, or that if we don't make these changes about our appearance, that somehow life is going to end up catastrophically. We have to be mindful of where our thoughts are taking us. And if you find yourself criticizing yourself or comparing yourself, try to redirect your attention to to gratitude, to something about yourself that you appreciate, to a strength, connect yourself to your values in that moment. And remember that appearance doesn't bring true happiness.
I wish we didn't have to go, but we do. Be sure to go to onthecouchnow.com, onthecouchnow.com. Get everything we've ever done in this studio absolutely for free on thecouchnow.com, and click on clinical services and go sit on the couch with Dr. Leanna. That's what you've been listening to, On the Couch with Dr. Leanna. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thanks for listening.
On 790 KABC.
This show furnished by Coast Psychological Services.